This is Talent in the Age of AI, the podcast helping leaders navigate what AI means for their people, their culture, and their future. We talk with the thinkers and practitioners shaping how we work, learn, and lead, and what it takes to keep talent growing in a world that's constantly changing. We create, curate, and connect the insights and the community that helps leaders build AI confidence in themselves and in their teams. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Talent in the Age of AI podcast, where we discuss how AI is working today in talent development, HR, and executive leadership. Our partner in bringing you this podcast is What's Good Productions, and they're an incredible partner, and we highly recommend them. Found at whatsgoodproductions.com. Today's guest is Dr. Jenny Murnane Rainey, and I'm so glad to have her on here. She actually also serves on our advisory board, which is so helpful for me and the other founders of Talent in the Age of AI. Jenny is a professor of finance and management and a consultant in the higher ed sphere with extensive background in talent development. And the title of this, the working title of this podcast is Bridging AI from the Education Space to the Workplace. And because of Jenny's multifaceted career and the both worlds that she has a foot in right now, she's the perfect guest to express her opinion and her knowledge of how this is working today. Her expertise is on the ground in educating and engaging leaders in companies and classrooms. So the perspective on leveraging AI is broad and deep, from colleges that are wringing their hands about students using AI to cheat, or how do they manage knowing they're using AI and wanting it to be their critical thinking, to companies facing ethical issues and policy issues on assuring that critical thinking stays at the forefront in the strategies and productivity of the assignments given. So it's a question out there in a couple different spheres, and I think we're going to have a great conversation with Jenny. When we were briefing on this episode, you said to me, kind of a theme for you is help us help you. So if you think of it in terms of bridging AI from the education space to workplace, what's your top line on that?
Thank you, Wendy. Yes, as you alluded to with my bio a little bit, I have a really varied background, and I'm currently a professor in the education space and doing some consulting, but I have years and years of management and leadership experience. And so this has been a really interesting perspective for me. So I used to be on the help us, and you know, now I'm on the flip side of things, but it's just a really challenging time in industry and higher education, as you mentioned. And we're struggling with this on the higher education side of things. Of we know that the practitioners, we know what's needed to become a leader, and that is regardless of the technology, the AI, is critical thinking skills, emotional intelligence. We know that that's needed, but now we've got this extra layer of, I don't want to call it noise, but you know, it's a bit of a distraction, because when you are trying to educate students and teach them to be critical thinkers and be emotionally intelligent so that they can get out in the workplace and be fantastic, dynamic leaders ready to adapt to any situation, it's a little bit difficult. And so this help us help you kind of situation is to broaden the conversation. I know there's a lot of organizations that they might already have a local university partner or partners that they work with, that they communicate, hey, this is what we're looking for in new hires, in emerging leaders. These are the people that we want on our bench, right? And now with AI, we have a whole nother layer in organizations in terms of adoption policies, use in organizations. How is it being used? I mean, there's companies out there that have chief AI officers. That's a real position. And so I think that having that deeper conversation about not what technical and content skills that is needed from our new and emerging leaders, but what on the AI side of things? What is needed? How can we help our students use that effectively so that they can be effective in your organizations?
And how do you arm your students with credibility so that an organization trusts that they're not going to just phone it in and go out to AI and, you know, turn in the strategy or the assignment at work that they were asked to do? But how do you help organizations train and guide and put up some rails that are fair and that are reasonable? I hope this isn't true anymore, but about 9 months ago, I heard about a company forbidding use of AI at work, which is a fool's errand. No offense to anybody out there listening, but we have AI in our purses, in our pockets, on our desks every day. So I think to say you can't use it is, it's kind of akin. We talked about this, Jenny. The calculator was going to ruin the world, and you know, GPS was going to as well. But here we are with the latest and greatest technology that, when leveraged appropriately, can make life easier, better, richer, fuller, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're still figuring it out, right? Both on the industry side of things and the higher education side of things. I was just working with a client the other day, and they said the same thing. They don't allow the use of ChatGPT or any of the other mainstream tools out there. However, they have developed their own internal AI, and they called it something chat. I won't say the name of the company, but you know, we're all trying to figure this out. ChatGPT has only been around for 3 years. I mean, it came out in 2023, and that's crazy to think about it. I was just talking to my students the other day, and I said, okay, how long has ChatGPT been around? And they were like, oh, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years. I mean, it's really interesting that it's already become embedded. I mean, I remember when it came out and I thought, oh boy, yikes. Hope that goes away, right? But it's not. And it's evolving. And we just need, as you said, not teaching our students in a way that, oh, how can I write this paper using ChatGPT? And then that's the skills that they're transferring into the workforce, right? How can I produce this end product that I might not be able to support or defend or understand how that it was developed?
Yeah, because it doesn't take much to review something when you're a person who, say, at the company, who's been around the block and has created strategies, policies, procedures, completed projects for their company, to see when something is about this deep in its thinking. And no offense to AI, I love AI, but if you haven't put the right prompts in and continue to prompt and massage and refine, and to your point, review, run the output through your head in the context of your company, your company's prospects or clients or customers or the need. So it's kind of just like the looking up things in the old days, but you know, just because it's in an encyclopedia, if anybody still knows what that is, or found on Google, it may be right, it may be not right, it may be relevant, it may not. And so we still need, I think, contrary to the myth story, we still need humans with critical thinking to leverage and enhance what they're informed about with AI. I know several people whose companies built their own AI, and we're going to have one on the podcast coming up to understand what they're thinking and how they did it. And I want to talk to them more about how do you know you're not, it's all speaking deeply and passionately to yourself because the input is contained.
Right.
So it doesn't go back out, or it may or may not, but they want it to be so protected for confidentiality, insurance companies, et cetera. I understand that. But I don't know what I think about that. What do you think about that self-contained model?
Well, I think the way that they're using it is more of a community of practice, a knowledge, an internal knowledge database. So rather than saying, hey, what is ChatGPT, you know, from a generative AI perspective and large language models, what is it grabbing from all over? And they're saying, you know what? You know what's important and what we can trust? is what we're sharing internally as an organization. And I think that speaks a little bit to your point about, you know, trying to develop something for a client that may or may not make sense. But if you're using that internally generated knowledge to fuel the AI tool, I think it's going to work out really well for them, actually.
Yeah. And they put in every proposal so that the new proposal just borrows from the template or what we've already said and not starting from ground zero. And companies have done that for a very long time with templates on servers, et cetera, but it could pour through ones and customize them. So you need a person coming out of higher ed. And these aren't just 21-year-olds. There's a lot of adults that have gone back to school to earn their degree and they want the next level. And so you really need, again, you need that person to know, what am I looking for in a prompt and how do I put in some customization about the people to whom we're giving an RFP so that the proposal that I recommend to my boss is going to work? I mean, in the end, companies still want to make money and it's about a business and ROI.
Yeah. And actually, I was looking at what jobs are coming up, what jobs are changing. And there's actually a job title now that is prompt engineer. That is somebody's job of knowing what prompts to put into the AI tool to be able to generate what you want to get back.
Yes, I've heard that in the workforce, there are a lot more jobs that are saying, come on in and be the expert in AI for our company. And I love the idea of a chief AI officer. You know, it did send a lot of shivers through the spine of a lot of business executives saying, what are we going to do? And I talked to enough HR leaders in our database here that are getting pressure from CFOs, CIOs, COOs saying, well, can't we let everybody go? Because we're going to replace everybody with AI. And of course, that's not the answer. It's who stays and what skills do you have them adopt? So they're leveraging this latest, greatest, pretty astounding technology out there.
Right. Definitely.
Do your students think they know everything? Your young students that are in their early 20s, late teens, do they think they know everything about AI?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We had a really candid conversation, and part of that was in preparation for this podcast. And I might have had a similar hypothesis, but I don't think so. They're just still trying to figure things out. And in fact, we were talking about stereotypes in my principles of management class. And they said that's one of the stereotypes for their generation is everyone thinks that they're good at technology and everyone thinks that they think they know everything. And they're like, we're just trying to figure things out just like everybody else.
Well, it's when social media advertising came along, everybody wanted to hire somebody young because they would know how to do it. Well, not necessarily.
Right.
When I taught at the college level, I taught advertising copywriting, and I could tell in 2 seconds when someone was kind of just borrowing from Google, a campaign. And so you know, what I know people want is ideas, people in business. They want the latest idea. It doesn't have to be out there and crazy, but it does have to be the latest breakthrough idea to promote their product or services. So it is about leveraging AI to help comprise that idea. And in my business, it says there aren't any new ideas. There's just new combinations of ideas. And so I think AI can be a friend in all manner, and especially when students at any age and level of post-secondary education are understanding that it's about connections. And it really is about prompts and combing through the prompts to decide what more can I ask. And I think of late, there are some AI platforms that if you give it too many, it just kind of burns out and it can't really understand what you're getting at. So the better you have a prompt designed before you go in the first, second, third, fourth time, the better. One of our other guests talked about she worked on a hypothesis and thesis for a new business with her AI for 4 hours. And I think that's another thing is the impatience that we're driving through businesses. Because AI is supposed to be bigger, stronger, faster. But, you know, a a manual report, even one with Google references, et cetera, you know, we would need a week or something to do that with a project manager. Just because AI is here and it's farms and goes out and gets information in seconds, it doesn't mean the summary of it and the recommendations drawn from what you earn are going to take 10 minutes. I mean, 4 hours, God bless her patience on that, but it changed the trajectory of her career because it was so spot on by the time she got done.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've seen this. There's an MIT study that came out in June of 2025. When you think about, well, how information is coming at us now, you know, we don't read articles, we don't watch the news that comes on at 5 or 6 or 10 o'clock, right? We wait for this reel or a TikTok video to learn what's going on and get the really, really condensed version. Well, this MIT study in June of 2025, they actually they broke people into 3 different groups. I think there was over 50 individuals, so statistically significant sample, but they broke them into 3 groups and they said, we want you to write an SAT style essay. And they had, and I think the individuals were like 21 to 39. So it wasn't just college students. They were looking at, but younger, on the younger side, right? So the first group, they had them use AI to write the essay. The second group, they could use Google or other search engines to write the essay. And then the third group had to rely just on their own brains, right? They got nothing. And so they did EEGs before, during, and after. They also evaluated the quality of the essays and a lot of, it's just a fascinating study. But not surprisingly, the first group that used AI to write the essay had lower neural connectivity and engagement than the other groups. And that's really scary. You know, we kind of use it as a tool now. And back to your calculator example as well. Sometimes I know myself, I'm tempted to just pop it into the calculator, right? But I have to say, no, Jenny, you can do that. you can do that in your brain. You can multiply a percentage by, you know, an odd number or something like that. And so I think the same is true with AI. I mean, it's great. It's a wonderful tool. It's nice that we have this. But we also, just for our own brain power sake, we have to be careful of how we're using it and when.
Well, flip side of talent developers and HR leaders in our audience are personal passion and motivation by a person, and people need purpose and you need to feel needed and wanted. I mean, automatons can put a prompt in and, you know, send out the report of the prompt out. So
yeah.
I love that. So the people who had to use their own brains, did they have the highest neural connectivity?
Yep, definitely. Yeah, and then they had some different engagement scores and that type of thing. And their essays were better written. So they had both qualitative and quantitative outputs as well. To your point, sometimes, you know, depending on what the prompt is, if it's like, well, no, that's not exactly what I was looking for. No, that, and by the time you get to the 5th or 6th or 7th iteration, it's, you kind of forgot what you asked it, right?
Yeah, it can disintegrate or it can refine.
Yeah.
So there is that art of prompts. Is that that's different from the future of jobs report that you referenced when we briefed, and that's a very interesting report too. Will you tell us more about the high level of that?
Sure. Yeah. That came out in 2025, and it really looked at, you know, what are we going to need in the future in terms of jobs, in terms of skills, and the, I'm going to read off my report here. So especially in terms of human capital skills, and the report, you know, it talked about, that's where I gleaned the information on the prompt engineer, but the skills that are going to be needed 10 years from now are big data, cybersecurity, technical literacy, no surprise there, right? Talent management, creative thinking, resilience, strategic thinking, customer service, flexibility, and adaptability. So if you notice in that list of 10 things, only three of them are related to the technological aspect, right? And the increased technological aspect is actually creating a need for more of these human skills. Resilience, I mean, having that as a skill.
Right.
I used to just be like, you know, you better have resilience before you even apply to a position or you get out into the workforce. But now there's resilience training and things like that. Resilience classes, how to be more resilient.
Yeah. Creative thinking. I think that's really informative. What's the author of that study?
That is the World Economic Forum report.
Okay, I love that. And I believe you and I talked about teeing up a webinar where we go in more depth on that and maybe even invite the authors to join us because I think for members, that would be a really rich and relevant experience to understand. 10 years in the future is not that far out. And I'm guessing this might be condensed into 5 years because things move so fast today. So it's really good for people to have their finger on the pulse of what that survey revealed.
Right.
You know, another phrase we talked about was future-proofing organizations, and it's related to this. And so I really appreciate an author and a leader of people named Dan Sullivan. And he wrote a book called Who, Not How. And granted, it was written a while ago, but I stand to say that I think it still is really important, who, not how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole mission of the Talent in the Age of AI is to say, how do you leverage this with human beings? So this is what you're saying. It's the people that have the ability to think critically, gauge their prompts, understand what they're being. So you train students in the classroom, you teach them and you advise them and you help them understand what's going to go on in the real world because you're a real world experienced person lending a lot of value to the classroom because you understand what it takes. What would you say to the people in organizations that you worked with before in HR talent development? Let's not be so afraid of this, try to limit this. I understand you have HR laws, et cetera. Not always the first group to cross the chasm with a new idea as they're building ethical policies and use policies. But how do you get them to see that it is who they hire and the skills they have that are going to make a difference, you know?
Right. And that's such an interesting point because I'm a big advocate, both when I was on the corporate side of things and now in higher education, huge advocate for those partnerships, right? But I think the partnership conversations right now are around, oh, you know, how can we get your students internships? Or here's the skills that we're looking for. Here's the software tool that we're using in our accounting firm. But I think we need to be much more intentional about having this AI conversation to say, okay, here's how we're using it in our organization. What are you teaching your students, or what should we be teaching our students? What do they need to know, not just from a technical aspect, not just from a soft skill aspect, but what would they need to know to come into your organization in terms of how AI is used? Obviously, we're trying to adjust at the higher education level. I was just talking to one of my colleagues yesterday, and he's an accounting professor. And he said one of the assignments that he just created this year to have his students do is he has them do an accounting problem. He has ChatGPT generate the answer for the problem. And he said it's about 95% correct. But their assignment is to figure out where ChatGPT went wrong, to assess, right, to use those analytical, those critical thinking skills. And so what we need to know in educating your future employees, your future leaders, what types of things is that going to be a good skill for them to have? Do you use AI in that manner in your organization? What are some other ways that we can teach students, and, you know, not, oh, AI is bad, don't use it for cheating, but how can we embrace it? How can we bring it into the fold so we're going to better prepare them to step into your organization? And then on the flip side, I would say that organizations, you need to ask your higher ed partners, you know, what are some things that you're doing? How can we meet in the middle? How can we work together on this? Because we don't want to be developing individuals who are coming out of the university and they're getting into their organizations and they have no clue what's going on, right? We might have gone through this a little bit. I came out of college in the late 90s and I got into my organization and they had PCs, and we did not have PCs when I was at the university. And I'm thinking, okay, how do we figure this out, right? And AOL email and all of these things that I didn't learn about at school. And it probably took me, you know, six to 9 months to fully understand and get up to speed on this crazy technology, right, that was coming into place.
I really do think that organizations that adopt the humanity attached to AI will succeed versus one or the other.
Oh, 100%, yes.
It's the latest tool to embrace. When we briefed about this podcast today, do you think we covered everything you wanted to talk about or share with our audience and our members?
Yeah, I think so. This gets me really excited, you know, for the future and hopeful. And I would say a few years ago, I think people, myself included, were a little on the, it's scary. But I'm very hopeful that this is just going to keep getting better and better. And, you know, it's going to make us really hone our communication skills and our critical thinking skills and our creative thinking skills. And yeah, I think it's something to look forward to.
It's like automation and talent strategies. Maybe that'll be a new title, AI and talent. But this is such a fascinating conversation. And I'm looking forward to the webinar that we put together where you, as academician and a person who knows what the science is revealing relative to real world practice in a classroom and at work, where we dissect the future of jobs study and the MIT study. And we'll do it in a setting, a circle of influence setting, where our members can ask questions and it can be a really exciting dialogue. There are people in our network who are embracing AI all the way and running with it, and there are people who are not, and everybody in between. And we're the resource for wherever you are on the spectrum of using and embracing AI. So Dr. Jennifer Murnane Rainey, I can't thank you enough for spending your valuable time with us today. I think what you're sharing is an edifying point of view in practice, and appreciate what you're doing to shape the brains of the young ones soon to enter the workforce. It's an exciting, relevant teaching that we'll all benefit from, and I thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Talent in the Age of AI. If this conversation gave you new ways to grow in your own work and to better support your people, follow the show and share it with others in your HR and talent network. Members get even more. Full episode transcripts, extended show notes, and companion resources to help you put these insights into action. Learn more and join us at talentintheageofai.com. We're here to help leaders create, curate, and connect what's needed to build tomorrow's workforce today. See you next time.